Amen. I want you to open to that very familiar text in your Bibles, Matthew 28. If you're waiting for 1 Corinthians 13 and our resumption of our series on love is, we are going to come back to that 2 weeks from now. We'll resume that series and kind of keep moving through the spring. We're coming to this familiar text for a very specific reason. We just finished a few days of special meetings that we call a missions conference. And it was just an amazing time of refreshing and challenging. This last Wednesday night, I stood here with a whole bunch of you. In fact, this room was filled with people. And we sang, "It's not fame that I desire, nor stature in my brother's eye. I pray it's said about my life that I lived more to build your name than mine." And we left here, I know I did, with that refrain, that song echoing in my mind, echoing in my heart. I've continued to sing it through this week. And I felt like it's important after, you know, a big week like that to come back this morning and ask the question, so what do we do now? What do we do about it? Is missions conference just kind of a mountaintop week? A few days that we have some spiritual encouragement and our hearts are lifted up and we see the vision for world missions, and then it's over and it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle of whatever comes next. I mean, I sang for this cause I live, for this cause I die. I surrender all for the cause of Christ. All I once held dear, I will leave behind. For my joy is this, oh, the cause of Christ. And I don't think we leave those words. I don't think we can. So that's why we're here in Matthew 28. It might be one of the most important texts in the whole Bible. So I think it's okay if we come back to it often. Every year we do a senior trip with our HBBC kids. They're finishing their fifth year of college here in our Bible college. And with those seniors, we take a weekend and go around the island, do some fun stuff, talk about the 5 years of school and the memories and the relationships, and talk about the things that they've learned. Mr. and Mrs. Mills really lead that trip, but there's others that are part of it as they go along. And every year I get to take one of the sessions, and we're usually sitting around up at Alapang. They've got a couple rooms up there, and sitting there talking about life, talking about the Bible, singing some songs together, and I love that so much. It's kind of the last time that I'm going to get to speak to that group before graduation. I mean, they've been with us for 5 years on this campus, living here, serving here, you know, laughing here, providing the spirit and the life that is, you know, so central to our campus. And on that night, I mean, it's like the end is in sight. Graduation's still a few weeks away, but I know that it's maybe my last shot at them. Last time that I'm going to get to just have a heart-to-heart with them before that graduation night. And the last few years, I have shared the same message from Matthew 28. And so it's very meaningful to me. And this morning, I want to share it with you. I want to tell you a little bit of the piece of that conversation. Talents read this for us, but I want to go back and read this again. Matthew 28, verse 16, the Bible says this. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They left, they went up the mountain. Jesus said, 'Go, meet me up there.' And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. For these 12 disciples, the last few weeks had been a whirlwind of events." I guess 11 disciples at this time. And they had experienced a number of confusing things. There was a lot of confusion about what had happened. There was some fear and a lot of doubt. They weren't sure what was happening next. And what Jesus is going to say next, he knows that there is both doubt and belief in that room. That's what verse 17 says. And I got a feeling that if I was there, which would have been awesome, I would have said, hey, they're not ready. It's too soon. I mean, they've only had 3 years with you, Jesus. They need to know more. They need to get stronger. I mean, just in the last few weeks, there have been some examples of a lack of faith and real confusion of their thoughts. They're not ready for you to leave them. But that's not what Jesus does. In fact, he doesn't hesitate. And he tells them, he says, go. I love what follows here, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, there's that word. Go therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's what I want to tell you. Two really important ideas for us to get. Idea number one is this. God can only guarantee the delivery of his promises in the places where he has control. There's a reason that I'm saying it like this. I want you to think carefully with me. This is really important. Maybe I can use this example. I can only guarantee what I promised you in my house. I have some authority there. But I can't guarantee for you the same promises at my neighbor's house. So, for example, if I invite you over to my house, Faith and I invite you over to come home and come over. And when you come over, I say, hey, the house is yours. You can get in the fridge. You can eat anything you want. You can watch movies on my TV. I mean, make yourself at home. You can do anything that you want. And then Faith and I leave for the afternoon, and we're gone for a few hours, and then we come back, and as we come back, we drive up our driveway. My neighbor comes running out to the car, and he says, hey, listen, and then those people that you left here at your house, as soon as you left, they went from your house, and they walked right into my house. And they opened up my fridge, they started eating my food, they turned on my TV, started watching movies. They just made themselves at home in my house. And when I said, hey, what are you guys doing? They said, well, Pastor Gary said that we could. I mean, it's kind of a silly illustration, but it's actually this point. I can only guarantee the promises that I make in the places that I have authority over. Does that make sense? So where does God have authority? The text tells us, verse 18, all power or all authority, that's that word, has been given to me in heaven and in earth. You want to know what that means? It's big, so I want to make sure that you get it. God has authority in heaven and in earth. I don't know if there's anything else. If there is, I don't know about it. So what I'm telling you, in fact, better yet, what God is telling you is that there is no place outside of heaven and earth where he does not have authority. So we can kind of go down the list. Does God have authority here on this campus? Yes. Does God have authority here on the island of Guam? Well, yes. Does God have authority in Pohnpei? Yes. Does God have had authority in Chuuk or in the outer islands? Does God have authority in a closed country here in Southeast Asia where Nick and Julia are serving? Does God have authority there? Does God have authority in some of the locations across Southeast Asia where Dr. Harry Park is serving and ministering, some of them in difficult places? Does God have authority there? And so this is why at the end of verse 20, Jesus says this, behold, Watch this. Look at it. Verse 20. I am with you always. And that's much deeper than just I'll be there for you. Jesus pulls out the big I am hammer. He says, know that wherever you go, the I am will be with you. All right, not just, hey, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be close. I mean, the I am will be with you. I am the one who's the I am, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This title, this significant biblical title, the I am, the Alpha and the Omega, that's the one who will be with you. I would never think of sending you without going with you in power and in glory and in wisdom. And then he says, even unto the end of the world. So when I'm talking to these kids, these fifth year graduates, who, I mean, truly are, some of them, they're going out to some places that might be considered the end of the world. But you know what I tell our students, what Faith and I try to communicate to these awesome graduates as we sit with them and as we think about them going out from the safety of our campus to some islands, frankly, that are not as safe. I'm not talking just physically, I'm talking spiritually. They're rough. The gospel has not penetrated some of these places like it has in some parts of the world. And I'm not saying it's easy anywhere. I mean, any place that we go in this world. I'm just saying that for these students, these graduates, to live out their faith on their island and in their village culture, listen to me, it is going to take courage. It's going to take backbone. It's going to take spiritual grit. And when Faith and I are sitting there with these kids, I can feel that. I'm looking across their faces, and there's a reality of students that we've watched grow in their faith, and we've watched them grab hold of the promises of God, and we've walked beside them as they've taken steps and had some setbacks and sought forgiveness. And, you know, God has built in them a foundation of faith. And they're looking out over the future. And the truth is that even in those moments in that room, there is both faith and fear. And there's some wonder of what's next. And it's one thing to live out my faith in the safety and the protection of the bubble of a harvest campus. But what happens when I'm out there? And what happens when, you know, my family and friends are no longer the same kind of protection that I might have here? And I can feel that. And what I want to tell you this morning is that, and I'd like to ask you to listen closely to this. I want to tell you this morning, and what I tell those kids, I'm just looking at them and I'm saying this, they don't have to be afraid. Even though it's natural that we'd have fear and faith together, and you want to know what else? We don't have to be afraid to send them. We don't have to be afraid to say Jesus' words and say, go, God's called you, go. Even though naturally we might hesitate, even though naturally we might say they're not ready, they need more time. But the truth is, and I think this is one of the main teachings of this text, it's not about us being ready that's going to be the difference. It is about God. I mean, that's why Jesus had confidence to say go. That's why we can have the confidence to say go. Because Jesus, on that day that he got ready to go into heaven, he calls out to his disciples who are going into a scary world. And they're going to face a whole bunch of hardships. Read the book of Acts. And they're going to have to endure a lot of difficulties as they go out as sheep among the wolves. and then to you and to me too, his disciples, if you'll take the challenge in 2025, he said you can go because of the authority that you are going under. And he assures us of, I'll just give you this outline, he assures us of his presence. I will go with you. There is no place that you or I will ever go or find yourself that he will not be with you. Nowhere. Even if you mess up. We tell that to these kids. Hey, listen, I mean, you may not get every decision right. Even if you go out and there's some place along the road you mess up, listen, God is going to be with you nowhere. Even if you mess up, even if you stay away. Listen, church family, even if you messed up this week, if you are a Christian, the promise of God is that he would go with you. And if you are not a Christian, Jesus' words here are that he wants to go with you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you so that as you go out into the life that you have, God would walk with you. So he says, behold, I'm with you. He assures us of his presence. He assures us of his promises. That's the I am with all of its faithfulness. And he assures us of his authority. It's all his house. And he has authority. He has sovereignty over it all. You're going on his assignment. So we can be confident in that. Here's what I want to tell you. Point number two. Jesus' authority and his power has not been granted to us so that we can hang out. Know what I mean? I tell our seniors this. I wish it was different. I mean, I would love it if we could just say, hey, man, let's just stay here. Why don't you guys, you know, find somebody to marry and have kids and we'll just, let's just all stay right here. I'd love it. Just build the, you know, the tent bigger and bigger. We can all stay here. But Jesus' command is so clear. He says it here in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8, kind of a parallel additional text. He says, you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. All right, so we have the authority of Jesus going with you, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, don't miss this. The power of the Holy Spirit of God got moved from heaven to indwell man. Jesus said, that power is going to go with you. The Holy Spirit's power has not come on us so that we can hang out. No way, you guys. We can't settle for that. I'm not saying that fellowship is not important for believers. We talk about that a lot. It's one of the key purposes of the church: outreach, discipleship, fellowship, and worship. We design ministries specifically in order that God's people within the Harvest family would be able to fellowship together. But I want to make something very clear about this. Fellowship together is not for the purpose of just let's hang out. I mean, it's not bad. You can hang out. It's okay. But this is not what God calls the family of God to when we get together for fellowship. We get together for fellowship in order that we could, Hebrews 10 talks about that we could encourage one another, propel one another to love and to good works. That's why we gather together. Because as believers, as the family of God, we've got a mission out in front of us. We're not just living life and trying to figure out, you know, how to enjoy it the best way that we can. We have been called for a mission. That's what Matthew 28, that's what Acts 1 is. We have a mission. We can't lose sight of the mission. And the reason that we're supposed to gather together is because that I know, I mean, on Sunday nights, tonight, we're going to have community groups. We'll have several hundred people spread out all across the island gathering together to meet. And we do this often. As often as we can on Sunday nights, we gather together. Listen, I want to be very clear about this. If your idea of why we're doing community groups, and if your idea of why you're going to community groups is just because you want to be able to hang out with some other Christians, then you're going to often feel like, I don't know if I really feel like it tonight. I mean, tomorrow's coming. Work's happening. That's not the reason that we're doing it. If you feel like, if that's sort of the communication that you receive, that we're just finding some place for us to hang out, then no wonder there's some Sunday nights where you're like, no, I'm not doing that. I got a week coming up. Listen, the reason that we stress, come, be faithful, be a part of it, is not because it's just a hangout time. It's because of Monday is coming. And Christian, you're going to have to live out your spiritual walk in a world where you need the encouragement and the fellowship and the sharing of prayer requests and other believers that are praying beside you. You need that. We gather together on Sunday nights in that small group because we know that Monday is coming. And I need these brothers and sisters alongside with me so that I can be faithful in fulfilling the mission God's called me to. So this morning, I'm just telling you, I'm just walking beside you and maybe sitting down in front of you or beside you and telling you that we were created for more. I want to make sure that here at Harvest that we are confronted with God's global story that is big and adventurous, and it requires your whole life. If we don't get that, we'll end up writing our own versions that are safer and smaller and way, way, way more convenient and comfortable. Henry Nguyen said, one of the greatest tragedies of our life is that we keep forgetting who we are. I'm very confident that the reason that most Christians who become disillusioned, I don't want to overstate this. There's a number of reasons why Christians can come be disillusioned in their faith, but I would suggest that high on that list of why some Christians become disillusioned is because they've forgotten who they are and they've lost track of the mission. And too often the church has called us to less than what we were created to live for. So all this effort goes into my Christian life, but it doesn't feel like there's any significance to it. It's just sort of, you know, maybe to make me feel a little better, and I go to church and I like that, but then the rest of my life is just the same. Listen, Christian, we were called to mission. And you are never going to feel fulfilled in your spiritual life if you don't own that and feel that and give yourself to it. What God is doing is not safe and it is not small. It is big and it is adventurous and it is worth your whole life. I desperately want my life to be filled with these kinds of big and adventurous stories of a big God who desires to do significant things in the world in which he calls us to serve. So, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as we wrap up Missions Conference? Oh man, I'm so glad that you asked that. A few years ago, we introduced a little four-word outline. We called it Come, Grow, Serve, Go. I think this will be familiar to you. And we talked about this often. It serves as sort of a platform for how you connect at Harvest. If you're new to Harvest, it serves to help define, here's the ways that you can connect and become involved and helps to define, you know, a path, a process of your spiritual life. Come, grow, serve, go. Can I just remind you of this again? We're going to get to the go part, which is where we're heading this morning. But let me just remind you of it. Come is an invitation to see what Christianity is all about and commit your life to Christ and his church. Every single week, there are people here. It might be you this morning. This is the invitation for you. We want to introduce you to Jesus and a living, personal relationship with him. And we want to invite you to gather and worship together with us in services and to listen to God's voice through God's word. And we want to invite you to join a Bible study and connect with a community group, right? All of that might be where you're at. And I want to give you the invitation, come. Let us help you find out, you know, where you can get involved and how you can begin to take steps towards, you know, connecting. That's come. And grow. We believe that God's called all of us to spiritual growth. So it's an invitation to become established in the essentials of the Christian faith and growth. So for many people, spiritual growth seems like such an overwhelming process. We don't even know where to start. And we're not sure that we can commit along the way. And so we just believe that discipleship is this lifelong process, and we're going to need mentors and people that would walk along beside us. The Bible's full of these relationships that are part of the Christian life. Discipleship relationship, disciple-making relationships. So we invite you to grow. I want to encourage you, get some steps that you can take, some ways that we can connect you. And then serve, an invitation to use your gifts in ministry service. Listen, we're not at all embarrassed or reluctant to call you to get involved in serving ministry. This is why you are a Christian. It's your purpose. God did not just save you as sort of a fire escape out of hell or even to bring meaning and purpose to your life. You have been saved. You have been redeemed to serve. God has gifted you. He's given you spiritual gifts and the full purpose of them. If you're a believer, you have been given spiritual gifts, and the entire purpose is in order to serve God and his church. So we want to help you find out, how do you use your gifts in ministry service? And then the last one is go. An invitation to a lifetime of going on mission, caring for people, sharing our faith, and building bridges for the gospel across our island and around the world. You see, so what does that mean? What does go mean for you and me? Hey, Pastor Gary, if you're talking about every single Christian is called to go, this is not, by the way, some like culmination. Come, grow, serve, and then a few handful of people are going to go. That's the ones that the church calls out and sends as missionaries. That's not what we're talking about here. The go is as much for every single member of Harvest Baptist Church, every single person that's connected. It's all of us together. So we got to know, what does it mean for us to go? Can I give you a couple ideas? Number one, we have to go to our neighbors. The Bible teaches this. Our family and our friends and our coworkers and people in our neighborhoods. This is our first responsibility. It's our Jerusalem. You might track with me as I'm going to talk through these. We're talking about Acts, where it says, go to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what I'm defining. So first, we have to go to our neighbors. If we're not serious about going to our neighbors, then it seems sort of silly that we would think that somehow, you know, we answer the call by just caring about, you know, the uttermost parts of the earth. No, it starts in our Jerusalem. It starts here. Our mission, primarily, if you're here at Harvest, our mission is here, this island. God called us here. So we have to go to our neighbors. We've been asking you to pray, how do we do this better? And over the last month or so, we've been asking this question. Would you pray and ask, who is my one? Who is my one that God is going to use me to reach this year? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to strive to build bridges. I want to share my faith. And in order that, you know, a month from now or a few months from now, there'll be somebody sitting with me that's come to faith in Christ. So we have to go to our neighbors. Number two, we have to go to our region. And I would see that as Micronesia. I think about this a lot. There is a reason why Harvest is here and why the scope of the ministry that we have here. You guys know that this is not usual. Something like Harvest doesn't just happen. God did this. I mean, the 50 years of what's happened here, to have a ministry with a scope of this on a little spot out in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, it really is miraculous. This is not something any person or any group of individuals could do. Listen, I'm telling you, God did this. God placed harvest here. God gave us this opportunity to be part of this amazing thing. I'm just telling you, I've traveled enough to know there's not churches that like this in this type of a strategic location. And in many other locations like this, to have the scope of ministry like this, I'm just telling you, God did this. There's no other way. And we have been given this incredibly important stewardship. If you're here, if you're part of the Harvest family, then you have been given this. We have together given this stewardship. And God's given us the privilege of, you know, having HBBC and then the connection with churches that are being planted and strengthened. And I'm burdened that we would do more in Micronesia, God's calling us to. Then number three, you have to go to our world window. I don't know if that's the best term for that, but it's the one I came up with. It's Southeast Asia. Man, you guys, we are right here in one of the most strategic mission locations in all of the world. This is not a coincidence, and it's not a mistake. Within a few short hours flight time from us, there are literally millions, and in fact, if you took a couple more hours out, there are billions of completely unreached people with the gospel. You've probably heard someone say along the way that, man, Guam is in the middle of nowhere. But I'll tell you what I believe is that Guam, from a missional standpoint, is in the middle of everywhere. I mean, God has just strategically put this space and now this ministry here with the impact and the influence in this region in particular and in this vital launch zone to a broader region that just nobody else has. So we have to go to our world window. We got to find out what that looks like. We got to press. We have to press the mission to fulfill it in that space. And then we have to go to the most remote regions of the world. Jerusalem, our Guam, Judea, Micronesia, to Samaria, I'm calling that Southeast Asia, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. I asked a group of our HBBC students if they'd come up and help me for a minute. Guys, can you come up here real quick? Good job. I want to help us just to see this, the scope of world missions. I have these students have come up, and I'm going to give to each of them a card that represents a language. We don't have all the languages of the earth here, but we're going to give them all, and they're just going to hold up. They don't have any idea what's happening here, but they're just going to hold up one of these languages. All right. You can just hold that up for everybody. Okay, thank you. So, of course, as you look across these languages, you would know that this is not nearly all of the, I think, over 7,000 languages and ethnicities on the earth. But these represent, I just want you to imagine that they represent all the languages and all the peoples of the world. How you guys doing? Anybody tired here? You doing okay? Okay. Actually, I brought something else for you. I brought some water because I thought that standing up here, the lights and everything, and you know, you guys might be tired. It's been a big weekend, and I thought you might be tired. So I brought some water for you guys. Is that okay if I can? Okay, let me just hand these out. I'm gonna give that to you. And I'm gonna give that to you. And let me give that one to you. Any suggestions out here? Okay, let me give this one to you. And let me give this one to you. Thanks. In fact, Elisha, just okay. I've got one more. And I want to give this to you guys. The rest of you, I want you to share that one bottle, all right? The rest of you can share that. This is a story, an illustration of the missionary movement across our world today. 92 to 96% of the missionary funds that are given today go to the 8% of our world that speaks English. Does that make sense? 92 to 96% of the missionary funds that are given across our world today are designated specifically to 8% of the world that speaks English. The nations of the world, for many, many places, it is not that they have heard the word and rejected it. For many nations, they have literally not ever really heard the gospel of Jesus. This is why we're passionate about missions. This is why God calls us to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the truth is, you guys, the task is not done. It's far from over. And we have to be committed to the call of missions around the world. All right, thank you guys. Can you give them a... You can just go and... Anybody want a drink afterwards? You can see Elisha. He'll take care of you. Hey, listen, our burden is that this generation of harvest, us, would take the foundation that has been laid and believe that God wants us to continue to build his church in order that we would see Guam and really our campus as sort of a launch zone. Man, I want us to see that. I want to know it. That this campus is a launch zone to, listen to me, to the neighborhoods and the families and the young adults and the military personnel and all the other parts around our island. And I mean, we've got to launch out there. We are called to that. It is our primary responsibility. All right, don't lose this. God's called harvest. He's placed us here in order to reach our friends, our family, our neighbors. This island needs Jesus. We are called to that. It is our primary responsibility. But then listen to me, you guys. God put us in a very unique location. Incredibly strategic spot. In the middle of a bunch of islands, many of them still need good churches that are teaching the Bible. And right in the middle of a millions and even billions of some of the most unreached people in all of the world, God put us right there, right in a strategic spot. And I want to ask you to consider, what does it mean for you to go? I'm not saying, you know, how many of us are going to get up and go and move to one of these places. I know that God's going to call from our Harvest family. He's going to continue to call people to go in that way. I hope this is a place where that's just, it's such a part of our DNA that as we're here and we see the need of the world right in front of us, that we would continue to send from here. But God's not going to call most of us to go, but he is going to call us to be involved in meaningful ways because of the stewardship of the church that he's given us a part of. Does that make sense? We can't lose sight of this of the stewardship that God has given us. If we lose sight of it for a second, we will lose God's blessing that he's showered on us over the years. So let me tell you what we're doing. I'm going to give you just a couple things before we go. I think this will be interesting. Currently, I want to tell you what we're doing. I think you'll be encouraged by this. We've got a harvest missions map. I love this map. It's very simple, but what it says, it shows us that currently we have 26 missionaries supported by Harvest in 14 countries and 5 continents. This is the locations of places that we're supporting missions endeavors all around the world. Last year, church, you gave $127,677 to missions. Outside of your regular giving. That would be weekly. Many people give weekly towards missions. That would be the harvest offering that we take around Thanksgiving time. It would be a few missions love offerings. All of that together is $127,000. The way that it works, just for clarity on this, is that in our offerings, we have kind of a general fund. As you give your tithes and your offerings, we really believe God calls Christians to give a portion, the first portion of what God's given us, to him as an offering of thanksgiving for God's faithfulness. And so the Bible talks about this many times, many places, and we talk about it. So if you're a Christian, you're part of Harvest Family, as we give to the ministry here, the general fund, our tithes and offerings. And really, this is mission too. I mean, it's just local mission to our island, to our neighbors. That's all that's happening here. It's just local mission. So that's what that's going to. But then, outside of your tithes and offerings, many people in our church give, designate to missions. That's where that 127,000 number comes from. It's not a part of our regular budget. It's additional giving. And above tithes, people designate on their check. They might say missions this amount, or if you use an offering envelope, you might say missions this amount. Or if you give online, many people give online. You can just designate this amount of my offering towards missions. And again, I want to encourage you. It's not part of your tithe. That's really given to God and his church. This is saying above that, if God has blessed me and we want to be a part of this mission area, we would like to give in this in that way. So for us, this year, we have an annual need of missions of $88,200. So that is the total of mission support that we've committed to missionaries, that we support, the 26 missionaries, $88,200. And then you'll see this on the back of your bulletin. You can see this even now. Year to date, weekly, that we're in week 35, we need $59,000. We've received $52,000. So we're a little bit under at this time of the year. As God burdens people to give, we hope that we'll come back and we'll match that so that at the end of the year, we'd have the giving that would equal the $88,000 we've committed. And I would like to just ask you to pray about how you can give to support the missions burden of Harvest Baptist Church. All of those funds go directly to missions. They don't go in any other way. They don't go to pay the light bill or any other ministry efforts. If you give to missions, every single cent of that goes directly to the intended missions. And as our missions burden grows, then we can support more missions. So that's the idea. As God burdens us to give in this way, then we can do more. So here's number two. How can we live this out? What do we do with the missions conference? I want to ask you to explore how you can go. How you can be part of our island go team. You don't have to sign up for that, by the way. If you're part of Harvest, you're on the team. I deputize you. The question is whether you're going to be effective in it. And again, just like we said, caring for people, sharing our faith, building bridges for the gospel across our island and around the world. If you'd say, man, I'm really nervous about sharing my faith. I want to encourage you, just tell your story. And then secondly, we do an annual seminar every year, a few weeks of how to share your faith. The next time that comes around, let me encourage you to sign up. It'll help you as you learn how to share your faith. And then here's the last thing, and then I'm gonna ask some more people to come up here. I want to ask you to consider doing a missions trip. Sometime in the next 3 years, it'll change your perspective. Our burden, we're just starting to communicate this, is that we could have a majority of our church family that within every 3 year period would take some of their time to go serve on a short term missions trip. It would light your fire for missions. It would light your fire for ministry here. It would encourage you, and it would be a blessing to our missionaries that we want to help. So let me encourage you in that way. Well, we're gonna wrap up here. I want to lay out before you the need of the world around us and the incredible stewardship that God has given us as a church. I think there's a lot of reasons why it's awesome to be part of the Harvest family. This one you might have missed if we don't make sure that we clarify it. And that is that God has just really put us in a very unique position of stewardship. And there'll be a day when we stand before God. I will, our pastors will, we will together. And he will say, "What did you do with the talents that I left you?" Remember that parable? Did you take the talents and bury them in the ground? Did you try to protect them? Or did you do everything possible to allow those stewardship of those talents to grow and flourish for the sake of the gospel? I want to be able to stand before Jesus and say, "We did everything we could." And I want to stand beside you arm in arm, saying we sacrificed, we prayed, we committed together, we walked together for the gospel, for the cause of Christ. We gave of ourselves, and then corporately God used us to reach, many people for the gospel to be known in many areas where it's not known today. Would you pray? Pray that God would continue to help us. Would you bow your heads? Here's my questions for you this morning, just to think about and pray. Number one, will you be part of the missions giving team? We can do more. It's amazing the generosity of God's people now. I'm just so proud to be part, humbly, but proud to be part of a church that's giving so generously to this area of missions. But as God blesses us, I think it's possible that we could do more. There's big need out there. There's missionaries needing help and needing support. We maybe could be part of that. So would you be part of the missions giving team? And then would you just ask, kind of as we finish up, this missions week, God, what's my part? What are you leading me to do? How can I help? If you'll pray that, God will answer it. Now, he might pull you out of your comfort zone when he does, but he'll answer it, and you will never regret it. You will never regret that prayer. So let me ask you to pray that. And then I want to just bring back to you this question. Who is your one this year? Who is the person that may not know Jesus as the Savior and forgiver of their life? God wants to use you as a missionary to them, as a sharer of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus. Pray, if you can't think of somebody, or probably several people, ask God that if he'd help you. Pray, who is your one that maybe this year could turn their hearts to Jesus? Father, thank you for teaching us throughout this week, and pray that this would just be the beginning of your ongoing work in our lives. Pray that many, many people here would say, "I want to be faithful. be faithful to your call to the big purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.